Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
This is on. Okay, good morning, everybody. I was joking this morning that it was like a Sunday where everyone shifted one to the right. Pastor Danny was preaching, or I'm preaching, Pastor Danny was leading worship. I don't know what's happening anymore, but good morning, everybody. I am excited to be here. I'm going to be speaking about Lydia, who we know very little about in the Bible, but she's her story is found in Acts 16, verses 11 to 15, and verse 40. I will show it on the screen, but you can open your Bible app or your Bible if you'd like to. I've titled this message about Lydia, Love is an Open Door. And if any of you have children, you've seen the movie Frozen about a million times, and now you're singing that song in your head. You're very welcome. Some of the most unforgettable characters in movies say almost nothing at all. Right? So think about Baby Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy. If anyone's seen Baby Groot, he has only one line. He just says, I am Groot, over and over and over and over again. That's it. But he steals the movie and he saves the day. Or in The Incredibles, which is also a very popular movie in our house over the last 6 months or so. There's a little boy, there's a part where there's a little boy, and one of the supers does something incredible, and he looks over and he's like, that was totally wicked! It's one of my favorite lines in the movie. I don't remember much else about that scene, but that line really sticks out because you remember it. So why do we remember these characters? Because they remind us that it's not always the loudest voice in the room or the biggest character that makes the biggest impact, but the presence with the deepest purpose. In Acts 16, we meet a woman like that. We meet Lydia. She doesn't say much, but her yes to God helped start the first church in Europe. So today, I want to talk to any of us, all of us who have ever felt unseen, behind the scenes, or wondering if your quiet obedience matters. Lydia's story, and as we have seen over the last few weeks, Melchizedek and Mordecai, it absolutely makes a difference. So Lydia is introduced in the middle of the chapter, and I'm just going to pray, and we're going to read the scripture together. Father, we thank you for the story of Lydia. We pray as we read these verses that you would open our hearts and open our eyes to what you want to say to us this morning. Speak through your word to us today. Amen. So Lydia is introduced in the middle of Acts chapter 16. And oh my goodness, you cannot read that, can you? You're going to need the Bible app. So it says in verse 12, and this is Luke speaking. The book of Luke and the book of Acts often go together, as Luke was considered a companion of Paul, and he traveled with him documenting his journeys. So when he says we, he means him and Paul. So here it says, from Troas we put out to sea and had sailed straight for Samothrace. I had to look that up. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So a brief overview of what's happening here. This is the middle of Paul's second missionary journey. Paul travels to Derbe and Lystra, where he meets Timothy, who's a young believer. Timothy's mother's a Jewish believer. His father's Greek. There's a part in there about Timothy getting circumcised. Timothy decides to join Paul in his missionary journey, and they work together to strengthen the churches in the region. So from this point on, when we see we, he's referring to himself, Luke, Paul, and Timothy, and probably a few others that are tagging along. So their group is prevented by the Holy Spirit from preaching in regions in Asia, but Paul has a vision of a man in Macedonia asking for help. Concluding that God is calling them to go to Macedonia, they sail to Philippi, which is a leading city in that region. So now they're in Philippi. Paul and Timothy decide on the Sabbath to go to a place of prayer by the river. There was likely not a synagogue in that area, and so they go where they know that there will be people worshiping. And there they meet Lydia. So Lydia is a wealthy businesswoman. She is originally from Thyatira, which is a city in what is now modern-day Turkey. Thyatira is renowned for its purple cloth, which would have been expensive because of the color of the dye used for the cloth. So Lydia sells purple cloth. We know she has money and a bit of influence. Lydia is also described as a worshiper of God, meaning she was likely a Gentile who believed in the God of Israel. At this point, she probably hadn't heard too much about Jesus. That's why Paul's traveling around to tell them about Jesus. But she was definitely a believer in the God of the Old Testament. As Paul speaks, God opens her heart to Jesus, and she and her household are baptized. Now, Lydia's immediate first move then is that she offers hospitality, and they stay at her home. Later on in this chapter, we'll see that Lydia is celebrated for her role in establishing the first Christian church in Philippi, but we'll get to that a little bit later. So that's the background of what's happening, who Lydia was, and what she did. But what do we learn from her? So the first thing we learn, and you can go to the next slide, she opened her heart. So in verse 14, it says, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So when she's first introduced, we see that God opened her heart to respond to the message that Paul was bringing. She was already open. She was already considered a worshiper. So she's open to who God is, and she's open to what he wanted to do. But she didn't know a lot about Jesus yet. We see how open she is in that she immediately responds to this message. She hears the good news about Jesus, and she immediately responded with faith and obedience. God does his part by opening hearts, but we have to say yes. And Lydia's open heart was the door that God walked through. We know that she's immediately following hearing about the good news with obedience, because her conversion is immediately followed by action. It says, when she and the members of her household were baptized. They were immediately baptized. We can assume from what we know that this is all happening in chronological order. It's all happening at the same time. This was in one moment as they were at the side of the river worshiping together. They were immediately baptized. They were next to the river. They say, let's get in. How great would it be if we did that? If we heard from God and we immediately acted in obedience. Rather than being hesitant about committing too much, we just said, jump in, let's go. You can go to the next slide now. So it's not a very good picture, but our family goes to the Okanagan pretty much every summer to visit some extended family. Does anyone recognize what that picture is? It's the Penticton Canal. So most years, we go as a family, we get a big floaty, big one from Costco, and on a nice day, you can just float down the canal for a couple of hours. Last year was the first year we had gone down the canal since, I think, 2019. So this was the first year that Juliet had gotten to go. So we get in, we get all, you know, get everybody gets in, we're starting to float down the water, and Sean and I are looking to see, we don't know how deep it is or even how fast it's going yet. We glance over and Juliet is in, like She was wearing a life jacket, but she just was like, this looks fun, I'm going for it. And she's like holding onto the side, kicking her little legs. And I just thought, what would it be like if we had that kind of openness with God? If God spoke to us and we were like, that looks fun, I'm getting in. When Lydia hears Paul's message, that's what she does. There's no dragging her feet. Her heart is open, and she says yes. And not just her, it's her whole household. They all get baptized right there. They were just standing there at the water, and they said, let's go in. Sometimes we think faith means we have to have all the answers, have to go home and think about it, wait till the timing is perfect. But maybe it looks more like childlike faith, just seeing what looks fun and jumping in and going for it. So my question for you, and we'll reflect on these at the end as well, but as we move on, is your heart open to what God is doing, or are you closed off because of fear, routine, or distraction, or maybe fear of commitment? Maybe you've heard the message, maybe you're a believer in God, you're not sure you want to jump in and commit to Jesus. I encourage you to be encouraged by Lydia and her story. The next thing that we see from Lydia that we learn from her is that she opened her home. So it says, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. We see her faith driven to action by radical hospitality. Her home became a platform for mission. She's baptized, and then she immediately says to Paul and Timothy, if you believe that we are all one, come on and stay at my house. She immediately uses her resources and her space for kingdom work. When I think about what has impacted me today, it's always the people that have shown me radical hospitality in some way. I spent the last 15 years working at Alpha. One of the things I love about Alpha is the focus on not having to preach the gospel, but simply opening your heart and your home to others. Opening your heart so that a stranger becomes a friend and a friend becomes family. When I was in Bible college, as Pastor Danny mentioned, my first year I did a one-year discipleship program called Omega. Many of you are familiar with it. It combines first-year Bible courses with ministry training, and it ends with a one-month mission trip. Originally, I had planned to just do 1 year of Bible college and get a good foundation, and then go and do something else after. During that year, God started stirring something in me, and I became open to whatever he wanted to do. By the end of the year, I felt led to re-enroll in another year and transfer my credits over. But over the summer after my first year, in between that first and second year, I kept praying, God, give me a sign, give me a sign. Am I really supposed to do this? Are you calling me to ministry? I think a lot of us ask those questions after high school, right? When we had the grads up here and we asked them what they're planning to do next. A lot of us ask those questions. God, what are you calling me to do? What are you wanting me to do next? So fast forward to the end of that summer, it's Labor Day weekend. I was driving alone from Prince George back to Abbotsford to move into the dorms. Partway through the trip, the head gasket on my old 1990 Pontiac Sunbird, anyone remember those? Yep, that's pretty much exactly what my car looked like. This car was about 16 years old. And the head gasket blew. This was the pre-smartphone era, and I didn't have any minutes left. Do you remember that? Youth, you can ask your parents what that means. So I had to call the college and say that I would be delayed. Unbeknownst to me, someone at the Bible college called the local pastor of the church in Cache Creek. He and his wife drove out, found me at a payphone waiting for help, and invited me to come to their home until my dad could come and pick me up. They fed me, they prayed for me, and they just let me stay in their house for 6 hours. They didn't know me at all. They showed up, said, get in, and I did. And I went to their house and ate with them, and they prayed over me. To me, that is radical hospitality. They didn't need a relationship to open their home. They just saw someone, heard of somebody in need, and they responded. And that moment still shapes the kind of hospitality that I want to offer to others. That's the kind of hospitality that Lydia lived by. She immediately put her faith into action by inviting Paul and Timothy into her home. Sometimes obedience looks a lot like quiet hospitality, like just keeping the door open and using what you already have, maybe it's your home, a table, your voice, to serve the church and to support others. It may not always be seen, but God sees it. And so my question is, how are you using your resources, your home, your time, your influence for God's purposes? The third thing that we learn from Lydia, you can go to the next slide, Lydia opened the way for the gospel to be shared. The scripture doesn't stop at verse 15 with our description of Lydia. So here's the context. Since they had last been in her home, Paul and Timothy have been traveling and they've been sharing the gospel. Eventually, they are imprisoned and then they are released. And at this point, that's where we meet Lydia again in verse 40. And it says, after Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. And then they left. So we can clearly see that Lydia is still being hospitable, not only with Paul and Timothy from before and now Paul and Silas, but also with others. She also appears to be the head of her household. We see a lot of mentions of Lydia's house. That would have been very uncommon at that time, especially knowing that she's a successful businesswoman, a seller of purple cloth, a luxury item. She's got money. She's well-respected. Based on what we know of her, she seems to have used her influence to further the mission of the early church. We don't know much about what happened between verse 15 and verse 40, but what we can gather from what we do know is that Lydia is a large reason why the church in Philippi developed the way that it did. We see the mention of the brothers and sisters. This seems to be a common thing. Lydia's got people over in her house worshiping together. Her home became a meeting place for other believers. And so in not just in the Bible, but in history books, we see that Lydia becomes the first recorded European convert to Christianity. Her conversion marks a significant moment in the spread of the gospel into Europe. She opened the way for the gospel to be shared across Europe. Lydia was also bold. She didn't push Paul and his companions away after they were imprisoned, and hosting missionaries in Philippi, which was a Roman colony, would have been risky, especially after they had been imprisoned, and yet she remained faithful and supportive. Genuine faith and opening the door for the gospel to be shared often requires boldness. Lydia shows us courage in aligning herself with the early Christian movement. I want to tell you a story about someone named Edward Kimball. Does anyone know that name? Edward Kimball was an American Sunday school teacher who lived from 1823 to 1901. One day he felt prompted to go and visit one of his students at the shoe store where his student worked. He felt God's prompting and he shared the gospel with him. That student's name was Dwight L. Moody, who went on to become one of the most influential evangelists of the 19th century. Through the chain of influence from Edward Kimball, Moody's preaching led to the conversion of Wilbur Chapman, who influenced Billy Sunday, who influenced Mordecai Ham, who led Billy Graham to Christ. It all traces back to Edward Kimball, who was bold enough to obey God quietly behind the scenes and open the door for the gospel to be shared across the United States and beyond. So the reflection question today is, are you willing to be used by God even if no one sees or applauds your obedience? Be open to what God is asking you to do today. As we mentioned at the beginning, isn't it funny how some of our favorite movies, the quietest characters, end up being the most unforgettable? Some of them have one line, they're in one scene, or they might do one thing out of the whole movie and they make a huge difference. Lydia's story is like that. She's not a headline name in scripture. She has 6 verses out of the whole Bible. She doesn't deliver a sermon. She doesn't perform any miracles. But her heart was open. And because of that, she opened her home, she started a church, and she changed the city of Philippi. Quiet doesn't mean passive, and hidden doesn't mean unimportant. For most of us, we've probably skimmed over the story of Lydia throughout our lives and never thought twice about her. But Lydia shows us that a life yielded to God, even in the background, can echo for generations. We want to be people who are open to what God wants us to do and what he wants to do in us and through us. I want to be someone who allows God to take my life and do what he wants with it, even if it's not what I would have chosen for myself. So I believe we're going to go into another hymn. And as we do, I want you to just reflect. Is your heart open to what God is doing? Or are you closed off because of fear, distraction, hesitation to commit? How are you using your resources for God's purposes? And are you willing to be used by God, even if no one sees or applauds your obedience?
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.